Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
I'm Araceli Gomez-Saldana in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In a time where threats to the LGBTQ plus community include bans on books and curriculums on sexuality and gender, there's a TV show that offers a dialogue where no topic is off limits. It's called It's Okay to Ask Questions, and it highlights conversations with current movers and shakers in the LGBTQ community. It encourages viewers to be humble, admit what you don't know, and to learn. Plus, it's filmed right here in Chicago. Matthew Rodriguez, host of the show, which streams on Peacock, joined us in the studio. He also hosts NBC5's Chicago Today and Matt in the Morning. As a reporter, it's no surprise that I love to ask questions, so naturally, I love the name of the show. I began by asking Matt how exactly he named the show, Why It's Okay to Ask Questions.
It really was a conversation in our newsroom. So what happened was Matt Knutson, who works at NBC Chicago, great guy. He came to me and he said, look, I think we should be doing more with Pride. Like, you're one of the few out gay people on TV in Chicago. Let's lean into that. And our idea was kind of just doing this small little Pride special, you know, something local that Chicagoans could be proud of. And as we were talking about what that could be, I just kept thinking about the idea that me as a gay man, I had a lot of questions about the LGBTQIA plus community and all that went with that. And many times people would come up to me and say, hey, do you know what it is to be non-binary? I have a friend that's trans. Can I ask you this question? And I would be like, no, I don't know. Just because I'm in the queer alphabet doesn't mean I have the answers. And that is where things started turning in my head. And I was like, I just wish it was okay to ask those questions. And Matt kind of like slammed his hand on the table and said, that's the name of the show.
That's great.
And we just leaned into that. And it's really simple, right? I mean, basically, at the end of the day, this is just an interview show. But with that title, it gives a different meaning. With that title, it gives people permission to step into the idea of asking questions, which is kind of basic. It's something that we learned as kids in kindergarten, the idea of conversation and whatnot. But I think, you know, Americans in particular, but across the world, we've been put into corners and we're afraid to embarrass someone. We're afraid to offend. We're afraid that because their view isn't our view, that we can't have a conversation. So the whole idea has become much bigger than just Pride and LGBTQ, that kind of conversation. It's gone beyond that. And we hope the show will go beyond that eventually. But that's just that title alone has drawn a lot of attention.
I think it's a great title, especially because, you know, you're not asking superficial questions. You're spending time with your guests.
Right.
And you're going deep. You are asking really personal questions sometimes. How do you navigate asking those things that I think, like you said, you know, some of us are like, should I ask it? I don't want to offend.
Right. So I have to say, I'm glad you brought that up. But a slow build and making someone feel comfortable can go a long way. And so I think even in season one, we're in season three now. Season one, I was much more timid. I was even still not asking the questions. And I think if I'm being honest, I'd walk away and be like, darn, I should have asked something even more. Like, I should have went further. And I feel like this season I did. Some of it, it's cut because it's just a matter of time. Like, we can't include everything, right? I mean, some of my conversations end up being 2-3 hours. and we cut them down to 35 minutes, or in this case, we did have an episode that was an hour. So you lead with an open heart, and I think people feel comfortable with me because they know when I sit down with them, it's the whole intention of the show. So if you're not going to answer the questions when the name of the show is It's Okay to Ask Questions. Now, before I do sit down with a guest, I'll be like, is there anything that's completely off topic? And I don't think anyone has ever said that there is. Now, granted, I try to be respectful and know that if I'm interviewing someone who's trans, I'm not going to make it all about their physical transformation, because that is just a small part of the conversation. Where I know many people, that's all they want to hear about is like, what surgery did they have? There's so much more to ask than just that. So we kind of dance around a little bit depending on the guest.
Yeah. Do you think that when having these conversations, you know, do they turn it around on you and ask you personal questions, or out in the world, should we just, you know, turn it around and ask that person what they're thinking?
I like to think I get very personal with my guests. I'm an open book. So if they do ask me questions, I'm ready to answer them. And
yeah, as people watch, I mean, it's third season. What have you heard from people, from the audience? You know, what are the reaction? What's the reaction to the show?
It's so funny because, I don't know, you do these little programs and these little projects, and you're trucking along at life and your career. For me, working at NBC and all these different jobs I've had along the way, and you kind of forget that people actually watch it and listen. You know, you're just in your daily grind. And it's really hit me this season that people have been watching. And I've had friends tell me that someone else told them about the show, not knowing they knew me or anything. So that's just weird to me, because it's like, oh, you mean my mom didn't tell you about it? Like, it's
actually
organic. There's an organic conversation. But it's amazing. I had someone reach out to me. I shared this story recently, but a woman reached out to me, and she didn't have a close relationship with her father because he came out as gay when she was younger, and I think divorced her mother. And obviously that adds a lot of complications, and they had lost touch. And I don't know if they had totally lost touch, but they weren't close anymore. And she saw the show and was moved by it and decided to reach out to her father. And they've since had many conversations and are way closer than they ever were before. And I didn't even expect something like that to happen. And she shared more, you know, they've really gone deep. And that's amazing. So if someone can do that, whether it's with their father or their neighbor, or just not even someone they interact with, but they are kind to someone down the road, that's all you can ask for with what the kind of work that we do.
Yeah,
right?
Like you said, humans talking to other humans.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
What do you think this third season, how is it different than all the other seasons?
I think we go deeper. I do. And each season, I hope I can say that. We definitely go deeper. One of the episodes in particular with Andrea Gibson and their partner, Megan, was what I think is the best conversation I've ever had on camera, if not my life. I mean, I've had a lot of great personal conversations, but it was so moving. And Andrea Gibson is a spoken word poet and lives outside of Boulder, Colorado. And they're going through a really, really difficult time. They have terminal cancer. And they know that. And they've been facing it for a couple years now. So they've been really blessed to live longer than I think anyone expected. And they're doing pretty well right now. But it's coming. The end is coming.
It was so touching. I mean, I
think
even that your conversation, but I think they being so open about their story and about really life and death really opened the conversation to just explore more, to go deeper.
And that's where I say this show is evolving. So we weren't even just talking about them being non-binary or being in a relationship with a woman. It wasn't so much about that. It became about, like you said, life and death. It became about relationships. It became about perspective. Once this came into the light that they had cancer and this was going to be such a struggle, their relationship with Megan became so much deeper, so much more evolved. And that comes across in this episode, I think, also because they're both poets, they're both writers, and they have the language to articulate their emotions and their feeling. and they dived right into it the minute I asked a question. So, and it was just beautiful. And I think everyone involved, our whole team, two other Matts and a Hannah were involved in this. And we are all so proud of that episode.
I recommend it. Get your tissues ready because, like you mentioned, the poetry is really raw. And one of the things that I really appreciated was during the episode, a crew member asked Andrea a question. I think it was more a story about how their poetry helped her relationship with a family member. And you decided to put that on the show.
Right.
No,
so it was not part of the show, but it was so open and honest. And I knew Erin, who's one of our team members, was a fan of Andrea and had followed them a long time. And Erin had opened up that Andrea's poetry had helped her connect with her dad, much like the woman said to me about the episode she watched of It's Okay to Ask Questions. And she started crying, and like, Andrea was so touched, and I started crying. So it was just, it's a lot. And the fact that that can happen or so organically in a room when we're just sitting and having a conversation is really touching.
Yes, it was great. I recommend it. Another episode I want to talk to you about was you sitting down with Kyren Potts, who's an Indigenous Two-Spirit digital creator. The story just dives into the understanding of this Indigenous gender identity and how queer and gender variant people have really existed for a very long time. This is nothing new.
No.
Here's Kai describing what he thinks British settlers must have experienced when they first came to what is now called Canada.
What they saw was a bunch of men with long hair and a bunch of people who were like having, you know, polygamy and like having same-sex relations. And it was like shocking to them because, you know, they came over with this religion that was so
puritanical,
man and woman, and you got to do this and you got to do that, and there can't be any of this. And so they must have just been bewildered by the freedom that they were seeing, this queerness. And so that's why I always tell people, queerness is traditional. My queerness is traditional. My queerness and my indigeneity go hand in hand. I do not separate them. These are not intersecting parts of my identity. They exist as one.
Mm. Now, that episode was, it just made me think about so many different things. What sticks out for you from that conversation you had?
How much I don't know, really.
Same.
You know, how much you don't know. This was not my idea to have a two-spirit spokesperson on the show. I didn't even know what it was. It was actually our producer Hannah's mother. She watches the show and wanted to give Hannah some suggestions and said, have you heard of this identity known as Two-Spirit? And I had never heard of it. I'm like, what's that? What is this? I had to Google it and everything and then realize it's something that's been around for a very long time. Now, the name hasn't been around. The name Two-Spirit came in the 90s, the late 90s, at a conference of queer people, and they were talking about how do we unify this identity that has many different names and many different Indigenous nations across Canada and across the world. So they decided, like, let's give it a name, and they called it Two-Spirit. Now, I can't even pretend to know the other names because there's so many, and it's in other languages. But as I said, the identity itself goes way back, and the takeaway from Kai is just like, wow, like what would life have been like if we hadn't pushed all of these people into the closet? I mean, this goes back. I was just in Egypt and back in November, and I saw there's art that shows queer relationships. I mean, it is documented, and we all know about Greece. They were getting it on in Greece. So like, this is not something new. And if we hadn't pushed these people into the corners, into the closet, into the dark, into the shadows, what would our world be like? What kind of magical art and creation would come out of people living as their true selves? And the fact that I said, you know, I don't know a lot, there's so much, just Indigenous culture alone, I was so embarrassed. I grew up in Rhode Island on an island called Aquidneck Island. It's a native name, and I don't know anything about it. Saconic River, that's the name of the river. It's an Indigenous name. Like, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Hello. You know, I mean, Chicago, the name itself comes from, and I think so many of us just don't know the true history of this land and who lived here before. So I'd like to dive deeper into that as well.
So very true. You know, as we kind of continue learning and continue evolving, you know, I'm wondering about shows like this and stories like this that maybe don't get picked up and don't get elevated and highlighted often. Do you have concerns that maybe some of these stories won't get picked up by other streaming services in the future? I mean, we are, you know, really just at the disposal of people's attentions.
Absolutely.
Now.
When I think of all the DEI programs that were, you know, going full force, and now that people are changing the name and they're losing funding, and we were so scared that we weren't going to be able to do this episode again, this series again. And it was, we felt like we were tiptoeing around. Like we were just waiting for someone to say, no, you're not doing that this year. And luckily nobody at NBC said that. No one here at NBC Chicago. Peacock was super excited to have it back. We were super grateful for that. But I know for a fact that many people are not covering these types of stories. They're afraid of pushback. I know that networks are making those decisions to pull back on what kind of stories they can do, what kind of angle you do, because you don't want to get anyone upset and make waves. So it's concerning. But I try to lead with an open heart. But there's no lie. I'm always worried about someone's going to say something, or somehow someone's going to take one of the questions I asked, turn it into some viral video, and I'm hated by a million people for some reason, or worse, one of my guests. And that is, you know, that's the kind of world we live in. But I, so far, it's been a lot of light, and I'm so grateful for that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Again, you can see It's Okay to Ask Questions on Peacock. Matthew Rodriguez is the host. Season 3 is streaming now. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. I truly mean it. Nice to meet you. Nice to do some radio.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominique and was edited by Meha Ahmed. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the show wherever you listen, or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Araceli Gomez Aldana, in for Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks so much for tuning in.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.